Welcome to the G&JB Show, episode 4. G'day Jacko, how's things?
Good mate, and yourself?
Yeah, very well. You had a big week last week at the Arafura Games, 3 fights in 3 days. Come home with a gold medal. Tell us how it was. What was it like up there?
Yeah, it was good. So we got to Darwin last week on Tuesday and competition started on Wednesday. Just got that thing as like a 4-hour flight, so it wasn't too bad and just chilled out for the day, got the weight off, and then I drew South Australia the first night, a boy I've fought before. Probably wasn't my best performance, but it's at that stage where I just got to win the fights and you can't look too much into it until I get back to the gym. So
yeah, that's good. I've noticed that about you lately. I think this is an experience thing, and like the same with experienced footballers or experienced people at any level, you're just finding that way to win, even if you're not on the money 100%, and we've spoke about that before. Sometimes, like experienced fighters, you know, whether you're 100% on, you still find that way to win, and that's experience for you. You know, I think that's a really good thing. And obviously, this week you've got a big tournament coming up, which is the major tournament of the year in your eyes. So what happened? So your first one, you won. Quarter final, then you went to the semi.
Yeah, and then semi I fought Victoria. He's a really tough lad. Just had to be smart. And I was I rung you after the first fight and just said, like, I wasn't on. I won the fight, but just, you know, you don't perform to the best of your ability. Sometimes it's a bit disheartening, but you said to me, this would be the best thing moving forward. You learn from it. You knew what you had to do. You got the win. And now we just move forward. And the next night I was sharp and didn't get touched. So then that followed. That led into the next day, and both decisions were went my way. And yeah, I fought well the second two nights.
Yeah,
I'm learning from that first night though.
I think they're good, just life lessons. You keep, you know, like you had high expectations of yourself, and again, this is all walks of life, whether it's business, sport, or, well, I don't know, whatever you do, you have days that you're not 100% and you know you're not feeling great, but you just manage, you know what I mean? You get through, and then after that, you know, your semi-final and your final were really good. I'm sure many of the guys listening will have gone through the same things in their life, you know, like people going through in their life, like, yes, today wasn't great, but I've got to back up tomorrow and the day after, and I've just got to learn from that first day and get better and better.
Yeah, and sometimes you got to remember, look, I've done this, like, 70, 80 times.
Yeah, that's right.
So this is nothing new to me. I just need to refocus and work on things I need to work on, and that's what worked for me the second two nights. It was a good experience, though. Like
it's a good tournament, isn't it?
Yeah,
it's a good tournament.
It's like a mini Commonwealth Games. Like, it's not a massive tournament, but it was good to just mix it and know what it was. Like a little mini, like a nationals for us, because like you got Victoria, New Zealand, and then like South Australia, New South Wales, and all the other states there. So that's pretty much what your nationals is as well. So it was good to get a feel out for who will be around and get my name out there a little bit as well. And
hopefully now that boxing in the Arafura Games, I think it's been 2 years out. I'm not 100% certain.
I think it was like.
It's been longer than that.
2011, yeah. It was the one Hooper went to was the last one.
Oh, really? Was it? Anyway, so it's been out for a few years now. So I remember when Damien Hooper went there, because Vijender Singh was going to be there. He was the number one boxer in the world at that time, and he got beaten in the semi final by New Zealand. Yeah. I can't actually remember which New Zealand. It might have been Sam Rapira, actually. I'm not sure. Beat him. And then Damien went on and won the final. But, you know, the Arafura Games has had some quality. I think there was an Irish team that year that was there year. So let's hope it can get back now that it's back in the mix of the Arafura Games and sort of get some good tournaments, some good... Oh, actually, Philippines were there this year too.
Philippines were there, but...
Not at 81 kilos. They don't exist, 81 kilo Filipinos. Well, unless they've been retired for a few years.
I think they had a 52 boy there that was pretty alright as well, but they looked like it was like their development squad,
like a youth team,
like
or
a
something
youth
through
coming
yeah
into the seniors. Yeah, they were pretty good.
Yeah,
but yeah, their 52 was really good.
Yeah, I spent some time over there a couple of times, and they've got a really good program at the at Bargia City there. I remember spending some time with, who did we have? We, I think Gareth Bammon was there for the first time, Damien Hooper, Cameron Hammond, all those guys.
Yeah.
I think Mark Shields was there, who's turned professional now. He was there in the first time we went. And yeah, geez, they have a good system, they have a good program. But they're, and it's high altitude as well.
Yeah.
I remember Damien got in trouble from Don Abner, and he had to do, I can't remember exactly what it was. He'd done something wrong, which was, sometimes he used to do that. But he had he had 10 400s on the track, but it was all at altitude. Damien was absolutely exhausted. And you know yourself how good he is at the track.
Yeah.
It absolutely flogged him. It killed him because of the breathing. Those Philippines, they're definitely, especially in the smaller weights there, they're ruthless, and
I've seen a couple. I think he was a 69, but he might be 75 now, a few years back, and he was one to watch. I can't remember his name, but
is he the one that you did some work with at the AIS that time?
No, he wasn't there that time.
Yeah.
When I went to Azerbaijan, he was there and trialed for the Olympics, but I think he only just missed out. But yeah, good puncher and real nice slick mover. And Southpaw as well, like Pacquiao. So.
They've got a strong female team as well. They've got strong girls, very well schooled, and they live it, don't they?
Yeah, especially at those lighter weights. And they're so hungry, as we spoke on the first podcast. They're just so hungry to get out of their home situation and fight for a better life.
Mm. Yeah, I was just...
And they're so happy about just being around.
They are always happy. Yeah. Training's the fun thing to them. They don't like it.
Dancing and singing and stuff. Because we did that youth camp.
Yeah.
They were the senior Philippines at the time. But
what was that, 4 or 5 years ago now?
Oh, yeah, it's a 4 while years back ago now. Yeah. Well, I was only just elite.
Yeah.
Probably only had no tattoos then as well. So so that would have been a while back now.
Since all back then?
I was a good kid.
Yeah. They're definitely strong, all white, up to probably about 69 kilos. Yeah, they're strong,
probably 69.
That's probably where they cap it about there, but they've always had good youths as well. I remember when we overseas with Clay and Jai and Nathaniel May, and actually that's some one I missed out the other day. I didn't think about Nathaniel May was in that side, and he's going really well.
Did you see he locked in for a fight?
He's with MTK, isn't he?
Yeah,
he's,
he locked in for a fight overseas.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure in England.
I don't know if it's a Matchroom show, but it's one of the big cards.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Someone, Dickens?
Oh, it is Dickens. Yeah, I can't remember.
Is that him?
Dick Insider. It's a different one. No, he was a good kid, and I remember we spoke about Peter as well. Peter had him well schooled, so hopefully now he's got somebody looking after him, and I know Mike Altamira will guide his his way as his manager as well.
A few camps over at Wildcard and under the eye of Freddie Roach as well.
Yeah, so
good on him, yeah.
So how was, back to Arafura Games, we went off track there, but how was what was the heat like, and just the general living and everything like that?
It was really nice, yeah. I've never been to Darwin, so it was a good experience for me. It was good. The heat was nice. Just any little bit of weight you had to get off. I don't have to shift much at 81, but just doing half an hour, a little bit of pads, a bit of skipping and shadow, you'd lose a kilo and a bit. Just drop so quickly. And you know how hard that is, backing up day after day after day, making weight. If I had to do it in maybe even just the cold we've got now in Brisbane,
it's gonna be repetitive, harder,
and it's hard. Yeah,
yeah.
That half an hour turns into an hour instead of
Tell us what it was like when, I said to you the other day, you came back and I said that's actually the first time, even though you've had your success, that's the first time you've actually stood on the dais and seen the flag go up and hear the anthem. What was that experience like?
Yeah, it was good. Yeah, well, that's the plan, but it could have been better, but they did the award ceremonies after every 3 fights.
Yeah.
And because I'm 81, so I was right at the end.
Yeah.
And they've gone after the super heavyweights.
Yeah.
We'll do yours. So I've jumped up after the super heavyweights and everyone's just leaving.
Yeah. So true.
I got 30 people here looking at me, and it was pretty good though. I enjoyed it, and even though it wasn't actually representing my country in the respect I want to, it was a good experience.
Yeah,
just good to do those. It's all learning, and it's all just it's all like firsts along the way. So like, you know, you have your first fight or you get your first stoppage,
whatever it is.
And then like,
yeah,
just little things just build you till eventually I'll be like a complete fighter. And then when like things happen, you're not shocked. Or even the other day we were talking about, you know, going to a big weigh-in at a big tournament. And,
oh, yeah.
And like, if you haven't experienced that before and it's your first big tournament,
yeah,
like, and people are pushing you and yelling at you out the way to get out the way and stuff.
Yeah, they can be brutal at weigh-in tournaments.
Yeah. And but if I hadn't experienced that before,
yeah,
then like, it just makes it all that more... all that much more harder than it has to be.
Let everybody know what it can be like sometimes at those big international weigh-ins.
I've only done it once, and that was for the last Olympic trials when we were in Azerbaijan. And there was, 200, 300 boxers all trying to get in. There was just like, I remember a big hallway, and I was only 19. Big hallway, and everyone's just jam-packed in this, like, trying to get
to the front of the line, starving.
Everyone's starving, everyone's draining their water and just trying to push each other out of the way. And it was an eye-opener, especially being a kid from Brisbane. Like, you know...
Yeah, yeah.
You don't have that, like, dog-eat-dog mentality all the
That's
time.
Right. A lot of those countries there that you've seen or, you know, this happens regularly through experience of other fighters that we've worked with, they're actually really fighting for survival, like we said before. You know, they fight for a better life, where we fight because we choose to.
Mm.
But
because if boxing doesn't work out for us, like,
we can still do other things. Yeah.
Get a job doing anything, really.
Like you said, you got to find your why.
Yeah, you got to find it. You got to find your why to what pushes you to reach that level of hunger, and they've just got it. And like if I hadn't experienced that. See, now going back at 22, 23, I'll be ready for that.
And
my whole mentality is different.
Mm.
Not that I let anyone push me out the way, but it's like I'll push people out of the way because I
want
to get...
Because you want the fun.
I'm just as hungry as you
are.
Yeah,
that's right.
We're all going through the same shit.
And you had a couple of the boys had told you what it's like, those big international weigh-ins like Horry and Hoops and Cameron
Hooper
and people like that
Hooper
have told you.
Hooper rung me before I went to Azerbaijan and he was telling me just... You
don't
know,
let him
what,
stand
you know
over
what he's
you.
Like.
Yeah.
And I've learned that from him, just in sparring too. Like, you learn so much from being in with people that have been through those.
On that level,
And like, his attitude, he's a lot different to me, but his attitude was like,
this is my time. Yeah.
This is, like, well, fuck everyone else. Yeah. I'm here for me. And I've developed into that as I've grown older. Yeah. But it's good learning off people like him and Horry, and people like that. They prepare you for when you get there. It's not as big as a shock to the system. But
shout out Brad Hoy, big listener.
Yeah, big listener.
Big listener. Passes the podcast on to all his mates.
Yeah.
Good on you, Brad. You'll be on in a week or two.
I'd love to get Brad on here, actually. I've got heaps of things I'd love to ask him.
I reckon we should ask the people who they want to hear on. Like, maybe we should have, like... You imagine we have Toddy and Brad on, it'll be just laughing the whole time about their trips and teasing people and everything.
I wouldn't
like
even
that.
Have to do anything. You just sit back and throw the bait.
Give them a couple of beers and it's on. It's on.
We'd be there for 3 hours.
Yeah, so.
But no, the Arafura was a good event. And actually, Brad messaged me before that and said it's a good tournament. And hopefully it builds back to what it was when they were boxing.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, and even bigger. Hopefully it can with the right sort of bit. You know, marketing is done a little bit differently to how it was back then. You know, like if it was 2011, I can't believe
well,
it was
even,
that long ago.
Brad, like I put a Snapchat on an Instagram story of the venue, and Brad goes, "Oh, well, it was always outdoors when we did it." And
yeah,
just little different changes and.
Yeah.
The venue was really nice. Like, it was a big auditorium. It was kind of like a uni lecture hall, like a big...
Yeah.
You know what a uni lecture hall looks like?
Oh, I've never been to one, but I've heard. I've seen them in movies. I think we fought at the same venue when we, on the way to Cuba, we stopped in Darwin for a tournament. And
was that the convention centre?
Yeah. So, yeah, no, it was a good venue. So... What's next? What's our next? Oh yeah, what's the level of competition like? So that was, you had the three fights there. We had the Philippines. We had West Australia.
Yeah, pretty much all the states were there.
South Australia? South Australia. Oh, you did fight South Australia. So from there, leading on to this week, we've got state championships coming up. Obviously, there's some, you know, your I think your weight division, the 81 kilos, is one of the, mate, it's a great weight division if you're a spectator. Yourself, Paul, and Clay, it's like
highly competitive weight with us three boys. Like, that'll be pretty much like a mini national within itself. Those three boys, well, me, Clay, Paulo, are all
really, really talented. Yeah.
And like on our day, either any of us can win. And and that's the same for Aussies. If you chucked us in, all three of us could easily take the biscuits home, mate.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Biscuits. You like biscuits?
I love biscuits.
Are you craving biscuits right now?
I'm going right now,
Just a feed in general, doesn't really matter.
Wouldn't even mind a coffee. No, but it'll be good this weekend, and I've had 7 fights this year already, so
yeah,
I feel like I've put in all that work, and you know, so I'm just sit back and enjoy the process.
We're touching diet with, like, you'd like to have a feed and everything like that, because it's the final 24 hours. A few people have asked questions about what is the boxer's diet leading up to a fight. But before we go on to there, I'd like to put in there, we've recently chose to move you from 75
to
81, to 81 kilos. We're
back to 81.
And back to 81, yeah, which you were 81, 3 years ago? Two years?
2 years ago now. Yeah.
And then we had the EBC, you went to 78, and then we hit 75 for nationals last year, Australian.
It was the year before that. It was late the year before that.
Yeah, that's right.
Late 2017.
So, as far as I'm concerned, I'll say my reasons for that happening, why we went up to 70, up to 81 kilos, was because, well, pretty much you were coming in 85 kilos. And yes, 4 kilos is tough to lose, but 10 kilos is ridiculous. Like, you know, it's really hard.
But it was 85, but I was still training.
Like, yeah, that's right. And you were fit condition.
Because I've been 85 before and blown up.
Yeah.
And I shouldn't have been 85.
Yeah.
But usually when I'm at 85, like, you wouldn't... Like, you can tell I've been drinking.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
I've
yeah.
been eating what I want for a bit.
Yeah. But this time you were fit this at 85. Time
I kept training all the way through last year.
Yeah.
And still 85, couldn't nudge it. Well, I made 75 in July last year, but I didn't do it the right way. And I was going through uni and, obviously, like, personal...
Yeah, a few
personal
issues.
Personal battles as well. Yeah. We had to make the weight, so I made the weight and I cut 6 kilos in 24 hours. So from Friday morning to Saturday morning.
And still got the job done.
Still got the win, but wasn't how I would have liked to perform, and I wouldn't have performed like that if I had cut that much weight. But
yeah, that's
you've got to do what you got to do sometimes. And
exactly.
And 6 kilos was it was just dumb and dangerous, I think.
Yeah.
Because you cut that much weight. How can you perform?
You can't.
You're not going to.
You can't, because all you want to do then straight away is put it straight back in, and then you just feel flat.
Yeah, if people don't know, in the amateurs, you'll weigh in that morning or even in that afternoon, and then you have to fight that afternoon or night.
Yeah.
So you only get, 6 hours?
Yeah.
Even, minimum, probably minimum 4 hours.
Yeah, minimum 4 hours,
and then max maybe 8 to 10.
Yeah.
Before you have to go back in again.
And also as well, again, the point that I'd like to touch is, we've got your height and everything like that. In the last 12 months, even though you're 22 years old, you still grew nearly 2 centimetres.
Yeah. And
so that's quite unheard of. Generally, people wouldn't even know unless they're measuring themselves all the time.
Yeah.
But because we're in this sport of boxing, we've got to keep hold of your measurements, and the QAS's assistance, they registered that you'd grown that much, and I'm so glad that we did know that.
And my skin folds were coming down, and my weight was staying
but
the same.
But your weight was staying the same, yeah.
Luckily, we had the support of, the Queensland Academy of Sport, but otherwise, I would have just been trying to kill myself.
Trying to get to 75.
Weight, and you would have been like, what's going on?
Are you cheating or what?
Yeah, exactly. Well, that's how I felt, though, for a long time, probably till about January, and then I spoke to you. We had a meeting with QAS, and since that decision, it's been...
Your head's clearer, finer. I remember...
Because I was so frustrated, just, why is my weight not moving? Like, I'm not drinking. I'm not eating bad. Mm. I'm eating everything dietitian's given me. And why is my weight not shifting? And I've never really done a strength program either.
Yeah.
Because I've always been like, I just need to keep making weight.
Yeah, yeah.
I can't put on...
Doing the old school. Yeah. No, I think you're performing better at 81 kilos anyway, to be honest, because of we don't have that stress and pressure of making that weight. You did it in Fiji as well last year too, didn't you? Hit the 75 too.
Yeah. I think I made yeah, 75 something, but
yeah,
that hurt.
Yeah,
and you, I didn't eat for two. Yeah, I didn't eat for two days as well. But I don't know. You live and you learn.
But people are asking now diet tips. Actually, a couple of people asked the same question. What's diet tips for boxers? So, you know, at the end of the day, everybody knows how to eat healthy, I think.
Yeah.
Everybody knows how to eat clean.
I don't think there's a big secret to it.
There's no secret.
Yeah.
Look, if you're getting minor, you know, we're talking grams and things like that. Yeah. Like that's, you know, but look, if you, everybody asks for diet tips. As far as I'm concerned, if you eat clean food and don't confuse your meals, like don't, look, put it this way. A piece of fish is great. The minute you tip it in breadcrumbs or batter, well, it becomes bad.
It's just all those little extras you add.
You turn potatoes into chips and it's fried. It's what humans do to food, really, that screws it around. So if you're...
It tastes better.
That's right. Yeah, that's right. So if you just have plain fruit, your veg, you know, you grill your meat and your chickens and everything like that, don't add extras to them. You can still eat generally good.
Yeah, but I think you can add those. Like, I think you should be able to play with it as well. Like, you should be able to add your extras.
Yeah, yeah.
That's giving you training hard as well.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, that's right.
I couldn't come here on no carbs, just veggies and chicken or something. Like, I wouldn't be able to get through six rounds of sparring. Like, and I've learnt that over the years as well, that you can't just... Like, if I had to make 75 for this, 3 weeks out, I wouldn't be able to train hard, wouldn't be able to spar properly.
Yeah.
Fights come up, I'd feel drained.
Well, you wouldn't be training for your fight. You'd be making weight. That's all you'd be doing.
It kills the joy out of the actual training side of boxing. Well, I found that... And your immune system... Like, my immune system came down heaps before the Commonwealth Games trials. Like, we did states, and I peaked.
Yeah.
And then I... tried to hold the weight off for another month because we have our states and then 4 weeks after was nationals, and I'm trying to hold about 76-77 all through training,
just not happening.
Training, like, I was training like shit, and then I just got really sick like a week or two out.
I remember nationals, you were bad.
I didn't even think I was gonna get through the first fight.
Remember you put Instagram videos up of yourself, old ones training, so that all your opponents thought you were still training, but you're actually in bed crook.
Yeah, I was just playing mind games.
Well, you have to.
Yeah.
If you do it regularly, you got to keep it going.
Yeah. I've been known for that before. Oh, I'll just chuck up a training video so people think I'm training.
So people think
I'm
training.
But I'm still training.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just an old one, so you guys are... You guys know I'm still putting in work.
Still in the game.
Oh, it's just a bit of fun on Instagram as well. So I like playing games on there.
What about... Let's touch the... Canelo Alvarez Jacobs fight. You didn't see it, you were away?
I was on the plane when it happened, and then I got back and I saw all the results, and then pretty much training's been hectic this
week.
Yeah,
for sure. So,
chilling out.
So what so I saw the fight. Look, I thought it was...
I've seen the highlights, and from what I saw, Canelo looked very good.
Yeah, I thought it was probably how I would have thought the fight would have gone.
Yeah.
I probably, if I was... gonna chuck money on it, I don't think it was money to win on Canelo, to be honest. I don't know what the odds were, but I would have probably, because I watched a lot of the Daniel Jacobs videos, you know, how he's been through cancer.
Yeah.
You know, the doctors told him, you know, he had 50% chance of survival, and then he was never going to walk, and then what else was it, the next thing, you'll walk but you'll never box again.
Well, keep beating the odds,
you fast forward that, and he's the world champion. He's fighting Canelo Alvarez. I don't know what the purse was.
That's the biggest payday probably in boxing. Maybe besides that, Anthony Joshua.
Yeah.
I reckon he'd probably beat AJ.
Do you think
For pay-per-view and stuff, yeah. Not arena sales, but he's on that DAZN network as
well.
Oh,
yeah,
for
sure.
They signed him for $365 million for 11 fights.
Is it a good payday?
I don't even get $365 bucks.
For 11 years.
So, I put in 11 years and I get nothing.
Oh, shit.
Got nothing to show for it. But, like, that's ridiculous money.
Oh,
like, that's
is.
Hitting, like, up towards Floyd's numbers.
Oh, mate.
And it's on a streaming network that, you know, you don't have to pay. So, say Floyd used to fight maybe three times a year. That's $150 bucks.
Geez, I hope they bring DAZN here.
Yeah,
like Australia. So that's where we still have to hit the main event all the time. If they, you know, if they do the deal,
they do the big ones. Yeah.
Or we're missing out on fights, so we've got to, you know, we've got to. I really hope that, Eddie Hearn and the Golden Boy and Canelo Alvarez Golden Boy. Yeah, but obviously, Canelo's, they build a good relationship.
I think Golden Boy and Matchroom do a lot of work together.
Like, yeah, yeah.
And that's where you see there's a lot of. Well, I don't know too much about the promotion game, but a lot of the big fights aren't getting made because of television networks, management, promotions, well, promoters, and we're not getting to see these big fights. Where if you get it on these big networks and promoters want to work together, because there's obviously a big pit of money involved as well. So yeah, I think it's a great way moving forward. With the times, instead of just having to fork out money.
Well, I think it's
and you get to, like, on the DAZN, I'm pretty sure they have like soccer, baseball, they're buying the rights to more and more things.
Mate, I'm just so, I, as you know, I watch a lot of the IFL TV, and yourself, obviously you do
I watch that religiously. That's
Coogan Cassius is the man.
He is, and I think that's such a good platform for the fighters as well. Like, they don't sit there and speak like they do when it's maybe on like a news network. Like,
They speak from the heart.
Like, it's just his, they don't your give mate. A fuck. They can swear. They can. They can muck around with him and have a bit of fun, and like I sit there and watch those Eddie Hearn interviews about an hour and a half.
Me too.
Movie length, and so, I sit there and I watch the whole
thing. So prior to that, I like watching where things start, where businesses start, or not just businesses, but sporting or stories, pretty much where they start. I've gone back as far as I can and watched the Barry Hearn when he was doing the snooker, how he started with Steve Davis. Steve Davis came into it, and he was the original snooker player that he got. That's how he started with the snooker, and then the darts. And look at darts. Look what that family have done with snooker and darts. Darts more predominantly
they
over
poker
here.
Poker as well, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, they do. I heard that they're into gymnastics now, or starting with gymnastics and a few other sports on the. They'd even do like fishing as well.
Because I've spoken to people from England as well that have boxed over there, and they talk about that boxing's not even his massive revenue, like the darts and, well, it probably is now.
Yeah.
But like when Eddie Hearn started, it was probably all the darts and all those big shows.
They've done amazing.
I'd love to see him branch out to Australia and see what he could do over here. Because like obviously he's taken over America now with signing. So he signed, I don't know if they're Matchroom, but they're definitely DAZN Matchroom.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
like Danny Jacobs.
Well, when DAZN signed Matchroom for $1 billion, they're pretty much
And then there's like Gabe Rosado is never in a boring fight. He's on there. Did you see they signed? Have you seen Devin Haney?
Oh no, I remember you saying that last week.
So they got him as well. So he's probably got like, I don't know, 400,000 Instagram followers. Like, he's only young. He's probably like 20, but like there's a big future for him. And they seem to be branching out, and he knows his market really well as well.
It's the way the world is now. Like, you know, everybody wants the television coverage, but look, if we look at it this way, what do we do nowadays when we watch TV? Well, I know what I do. I get, if I, there's something on when I'm at the gym or at work or whatever, I can record it on Foxtel.
Yeah, like EastEnders.
And I'll play it back, EastEnders, whatever it is, might be. No one needs to know. I play it back. I'll fast forward the ads.
Yep.
What else? There's, I watch YouTube.
I watch
again on the TV.
Yeah.
Netflix. So really, I'm not sat there watching and waiting for TV to come on anymore.
Yeah.
I'm like, if something's on at 7:30, well, I can. Yeah, I don't even care. The like live sport, yes, but because it's on DAZN, mate.
Yeah.
I just hope they come into Australia and go, you know, as well, so that we can pay that. I've always thought for a long time, I wish
Australia's got the market for it. Like, we've got money to spend, and there's genuine sports fans in Australia.
Oh yeah,
like,
that's right.
Like, even say Melbourne, I love the culture in Melbourne.
Yeah,
like the way that they can just bring like State of Origin down there and sell out
and
the
still
MCG,
sell it.
You know what I mean? I'm pretty sure they go to MCG.
Yeah.
Or they can bring like a World Cup soccer match and everyone comes to watch it. That's the culture we need, and I think if people would get around, if we can get a genuine stars.
Well, like, look at Pacquiao Horn.
Yeah, but that's
sold out. Sold out. 52.
I had mates that have never watched boxing in their life, and they're like, "Oh, you heard of this Jeff Horn?" Yeah, we know Jeff for years. Like,
that's right. Boxing's about the occasion, or no, boxing needs to be about the occasion and the event.
But, but we can't do it unless, like, you got to obviously put time and money into it and start on a smaller scale and build into something big. Like, it's hard because Jeff's was just, all right, let's do this big event. Right. And he had the government and like, the people behind him, which was awesome to see. And that paves the way for people like people like me that I want to come up and do things like that as well.
And it's funny now, like, people like...
And Juco did an amazing job. He's led the way, Jeff.
And people, everyone now, you say, oh, do you know Jeff Ford? And I'm like, yeah.
Mate, I walk around...
I've known him since his first fight.
I even walk around shops, like, and people have Hornet shirts on. Like, that's what we want. I want and I love seeing that.
Yeah. No, it's great.
I think he's a good man, too.
He's a good man. He's Jeff. Like, he deserves everything he gets, because he... he threw his cards down on the table and holy shit, he come up trumps against Pacquiao, where not many people thought he's going to get over the line. And to be honest, if you looked at the records, why would you think he was going to win? And, but he did.
Yeah, and another thing is, people maybe, I don't know if they forget, but he's been stayed loyal to the same trainer.
Yeah, exactly.
Same people around him, and it's paid off for him. He doesn't just jump ship because, he's
loyalty doing something can be quite rare.
Yeah, well, I've seen, but it's like, how many people do you see, like, have a bad fight and they go, oh, my coach got up me and I don't think I want to be there anymore. Like, you just got to have that, you got to stick to your guns and it's like ridiculously.
There
are people that are with bad trainers that should probably move, but like, if you stick loyal to someone and you don't like hearing the things you don't want to hear, then...
Mate, so you know what? If you can look in the mirror and you've done everything right and you know what, and your trainer's done everything right and it just goes wrong, well, it's still okay.
Yeah.
You can just go back and fix it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you just...
I think but you've got to look at yourself before you look at anything.
You have to look
in
the
Jeff's
mirror.
And Jeff's stuck with Glenn. Well, they've been together since day one.
Yeah.
So it can work for you, and I'm really happy it worked for him. But yeah, going back to that, the zone and the network and having that over here would be huge. And if we could build like genuine superstars, like you see Tim Zhu's on main event this weekend.
Oh yeah, that'll be a cracker.
Yeah. But like, obviously he's got that platform where like his dad was a superstar and that's good.
Gotta use those angles, and that's what we've got to get, the stories, the extra stories behind it. Otherwise,
and he'll sell because he's got a story and people already know him. It's like the NRL players that go pro.
That's why people watch it.
Mate, more people are gonna line up and watch Hodjo than they're gonna watch me, you know.
Yeah, that's right. Well, hopefully in the future they'll turn around.
Yeah, well,
let's hope so.
For now, anyway.
Yeah, that's
right. The big man's got me for now.
So, all right, anything else to touch base on, Jacko, before we move off? And I suppose you start training for your state championships tomorrow?
No, that's about it. That's all we were going to talk about today, and we've had a few questions come in, and we covered most of them today. I think a lot of yours were about the diet, and I think, yeah, just gotta eat clean and low. Like, I probably eat pretty well now. But I think the education around boxers and making weight is something that could be touched on at maybe like a state and national level.
Yeah.
Just for the coaches, just to have a general education into what boxers should and shouldn't be eating. And
I think with a sport where boxing, everybody's always trying to get the weight down all the time. Like, you know, we see, how often do we see kids just busting their ass to make weight, trying to get 2 and 3 kilos, where one thing that I've never done is make little kids get their weight off, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, if it's 200 grams, it's okay.
If it's not eating that night, then you cannot eat that night. But I don't think you need to be cutting 3 kilos or anything over a kilo.
And what happens, a lot of people, when they're kids, if they're pushed that hard when they're a kid, you know, they never turn into seniors. They tend to pull the pin before senior boxing because they've been ridden too hard.
For longevity, I think you've got to just keep... You've got to keep involved in other... Like, for me, playing other sports was that my outlet from boxing, because it's so intense, and just seeing your mates that live a normal life on the weekends, or... like playing a bit of footy or playing a bit of basketball around on the courts. Like, that was my little outlet away from it. But a lot of kids don't get that, and it's full on.
Well, like, our kids train 3 days a week. You know, some kids are in there five, 6 days a week.
You don't have to be a superstar when you're 10.
Exactly. We say to the guys, okay, so who was the under 14 world champion? You know what? No one even cares. So it doesn't matter. You just enjoy the sport, keep improving, and just keep developing yourself.
Well, you could even, if we ever get Hodjo on here, you could ask him that as well. Like, at 14, did you know you were going to play for the Broncos?
Yeah, no.
Probably not.
Probably not.
Were you the best at 14? Probably not.
Yeah, that's right.
But you grew into your body and you train hard and.
Yeah, and then you.
And that's the thing too. Like, I fought people when I was 57 kilos that are still 60 kilos and they're adults.
Yeah, that's right. And some of them totally aren't even around.
And that
boxing.
Might be genetic.
But, yeah. But
a lot of the times, like, if you've only gained 3 kilos from 14 to 22, then maybe you killed yourself too young.
Oh, there was one question that came in. Sorry, I've got to throw it at you. About cleaning your room.
Oh.
Yeah.
I'm not known for the cleanest of room.
It was from one of your mum's friends, apparently, in
Melbourne. I actually have this basket, and I put washing in it, and somehow it comes back folded.
It's amazing. Oh, thanks, Mum.
No, that's it, though, gee, yeah. It was good to touch on the match room thing as well. Actually, no, I did get a question about Canelo, and who would you think, maybe, say, middle, super middle, where do you think his next move is, and can you see anyone beating him?
I think Triple G, the fight has to happen again, the third one.
Yeah. Okay.
Who will win? I always thought Triple G from before they fought. Now I'm unsure. Canelo just has an answer for everyone in saying that. Triple G has also.
Yeah.
It's normally the equaliser.
I think it'll be that youth age. Yeah.
I honestly think Canelo has still got his speed and his work output. Triple G, I don't know. I think his only chance to beat Canelo is knocking him out, which seems to be very hard to find. His defense in the last fight was immaculate.
Yeah, and that was another thing I wanted to touch on was after that Floyd fight, his defense has just, like, it's kind of been like the main focus.
That was a wake up, yeah, again. Yeah. That was his, like, next step.
So
right, I need
that
to learn.
And, like, probably wasn't the biggest, like, boxer, mover, counterpuncher until that fight. And now he's unreal.
Well, how about, a lot of people talk about people with bad chins or this, you know, like, they can't take shots, or somebody's got awesome power, massive power. How are you going to beat him? He's got so much power. But you know what? It's actually the defense. You have to, like, you might not have a really bad chin, but you just got to tighten up your defense. You've got to improve your defense. You've got to improve all areas you can. You can't just become a good pad puncher. You can't just become a good bag puncher. You can't be just good at one thing. You've got to be an all-around athlete, which is attack, defense, agility, speed, coordination. Everything's got
your ring IQ.
Everything's got to come together.
Yeah, and I saw that Max Kellerman interview, who's a Showtime presenter, and he said Amir Khan doesn't have a bad chin, he's just got poor defense. And that's
defense.
All it is he, like, he's not getting hit by people that are fairy punchers. Like,
that's
he's
right.
getting
yeah,
hit
yeah.
by
yeah,
like
yeah,
Canelo or
the real
Danny
deal.
Garcia. Yeah. Like, people that are actually gonna put you away. And it was always just his chin. It wasn't his chin, it was more his defense. Like,
his defense.
You're not actually getting hit in the chin.
Who wins if he fights Cal Brook?
I have to say, well, I see both of them coming off like
Not great performances.
Yeah. But one was against Crawford and one was against Serafa. I think Kell Brook's got the goods to do it. I've always loved Kell Brook. And I always liked the Ingle Gym style.
Yeah.
I know
yeah.
he's not there anymore, but I've loved the way they box and move, like Prince Nazim, Johnny Nelson.
Yeah,
well, they've had some good names, like even Billy Joe Saunders went there for a while. They got Jason Quigley there.
Yeah.
They've just got, like, real nice, slick boxers and movers. Oh, Kid Galahad.
All very confident in their ability. Who's fighting Josh Warrington?
Josh Warrington.
When's that? This week? Next week?
It'd be
soon. It's coming close, isn't it?
Yeah. Actually, it might be a couple weeks away. Mm. But, yeah, that'll be a good fight. I've always enjoyed that. And, I wanted to put my word in. I reckon Canelo can get beaten at super middleweight by Callum Smith. That's my pick.
Callum Smith.
If anyone can do it in middleweight.
Yeah, if there's any
from
chance.
Maybe Triple G.
Yeah.
And I'm sure there's
You're not
other
saying
names
he will
there.
Do it. You'll say if there's anyone, it's probably him.
Because he's tall.
Yeah.
But he's not like Rocky Fielding, who was tall and not the greatest boxer. Callum Smith's a really nice mover, good body puncher, like 2 and 3 attacks. And he's about like 6'3" for a super middleweight. And he's big. I really rate him, especially after that super series.
He was excellent in there. Groves, yep.
And he beat Jamie Cox, who's a nice southpaw from England as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think there's some great fights to be made. But yeah, I saw somewhere he was going to fight. They offered Errol Spence a fight, Canelo.
Really?
I think it'll be at the catch weight. But yeah, that's another one.
We could talk about this stuff all day.
That's it. Well, it's boxing, isn't it? It's
all right. Thanks everyone for listening this week. Episode 4, the G&JB show. Next week, we'll have a special guest on. We're going to say who it is, or we'll just wait?
No, we'll wait.
We'll surprise you next week. Send questions in anytime. Send us questions, things that you want to hear, what points you want to touch on, people around our area that want us to interview. And, yeah, thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week.